Tonight I want to continue in the message from this morning, the call to spirituality. I believe that God truly wants us to love Him as He loves us. And that there is an emptiness many times in our service. We can become weary in well-doing, the Bible tells us. The Bible actually tells us to be aware of that so that we don't become weary in well-doing. So that we can truly be the spiritual people that God wants us to be. Now we know in our text today that Jesus has traveled to Mary and Martha's house. He is with them. Martha is out in the kitchen and she's preparing the evening meal. Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus and she's worshiping Him there. And Martha is all worried about it. She's distracted because her service has become empty. Her service has drained her. And because of that, she's distracted and she wants Jesus to tell Mary, hey, tell her to come help me. And truly Jesus says, you know, the thing that Mary is doing is more needful. So He says, I'm not going to take that away from her. We also have seen examples through Mary's life of her spirituality, how she was always at the feet of Jesus. She was always there gleaning what He had for her that day. And you know, it's amazing. We eat breakfast, we eat lunch, we eat supper, and if we miss a meal, we are hungry. We ought to have a hunger for God when we miss that time with Him. There ought to be a hunger deep down in our souls that gnaws at our soul, that drives us to the feet of Jesus. Tonight, we're going to look at the third portion, and that's the encouragement to surrender. The encouragement to surrender. I want to look at verse 42 of our main text. As Jesus is there with Mary and Martha, He says, but this one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You, Father, for all that You have done this morning and what You're doing in our hearts tonight. We thank You, Father, for the testimony that You've placed in Sean's life. Father, how You provide when there really is no way. Father, when there is no food in the cupboard, how You provide. And Father, when there are no funds in the bank, how You provide. Father, I thank You for that because that draws us closer to You. That allows us to see how merciful You are to us. And Father, we pray that tonight we might truly love You as much as You love us, as You have given Yourself for us. And Father, we pray that through this message tonight that we might be drawn closer to You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As Jesus said, this one thing that Mary is doing is more needful. It shall not be taken away from her. Now, Mary, I believe, truly knew that Jesus was going to be there for just a short period of time. And so every time she was in His presence, she wanted to sit at His feet. She wanted to be next to Him. She wanted to hear His words. And I would imagine that as she was sitting at His feet, He might reach down and touch her on top of the head. Because there was a relationship there. There was an intimacy there. And Mary wanted to worship Him. And that's why she would take that costly ointment and break it and anoint His feet and wipe that ointment with her hair. There are things that are removed when Jesus ascends. Jesus was with His disciples and would tell His disciples that I'm not always going to be with you. I am going to be leaving. I'm going to be returning to the Father from where I came. And so the disciples were troubled by that at times. They were wondering what this was going to be like. We've been following this man for 3.5 years, and now he tells us he's going to leave and return to the Father from which he came. What's life going to be like for us when he's gone? Well, there are things that will not ever be removed because Jesus left. And the first thing is our worship. Our worship will always remain, even though Jesus has physically left this world to be back with the Father, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Our worship will always remain. Look with me, please, in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, as it begins in verse 1, it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God as they sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and you that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The exact thing that Mary was doing at His feet that day, the exact thing that Mary was doing that Martha said, hey, make her stop and join me, that exact thing will never be taken away. She was worshiping Him. See, I truly believe that if we love Him as much as He loves us, it will drive us to a point of worship in our lives. And it will be a heartfelt worship that we won't worry about anything else around us. We will be solely focused on Him, worshiping Him, because He is truly worthy of our worship. So many times, I know that when I'm praying and I'm having quiet time, there are so many things that bombard my brain. It bombards me. How many times have you been praying and then you think about, well, I wonder what I'm going to do for lunch? Or, I wonder what we're doing tonight after I get home. And all of a sudden your mind just starts to wander. That happens when we worship as well. We will be singing and we will be saying the words that are on the screen, but our mind is some other place many times. We will sing the words and mouth the words, but there's no heartfelt connection with God. It's not as though we're sitting at His feet looking up into His face. See, true heartfelt worship will never leave. Even though Jesus is physically gone, true heartfelt worship will never, ever leave. I love those times when I'm able to worship Him and truly worship Him, and nothing around me is apparent to me. It's as though it's just me and God. That's what He wants from us each and every time we meet. But the only way that that can happen is if we have spent some quality time at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, praying and communicating with Him. Because see, throughout the week, there should be a worship in our hearts. There ought to be something going on there that cries out the glory of God. Oh, you ought to be in this place sometimes when I'm all alone. I'm glad there aren't cameras here, because we're supposed to worship Him on a daily basis. We're supposed to know and sense His presence as we are working throughout our day. When we sense His presence, it is so easy to take a moment and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And go on with your work and say, "Thank you, Lord." And just have a constant communing with Him. That's what He is desiring from His children. That His children's attention is number one. And that everything else pales. That's spirituality. Have you ever spoke to someone that is so preoccupied that after you get done talking to them, they look at you and go, "Huh? Like, oh, you were talking to me? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you repeat that again?" We are to be so preoccupied with the presence of Almighty God that when people are talking to us, we need to take a time out from God and say, "Just a minute, someone here on earth is speaking to me." We should have a preoccupation with the things of God. That's what spirituality is all about. And when Mary would leave the presence of Jesus, or when Jesus would leave Mary, don't you know that she was looking for the next time she could sit at His feet again? That's what's so special. Our worship will never, ever leave. His Word, secondly, look at our main text once again. His Word will never leave. Notice verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word." Yeah, now He was speaking, but we have His Word today. And His Word should be precious in our lives. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. We're not talking about the physical Bible, but the Word is the manifested presence of Almighty God. It's how He deals with us. It's how He relates to us. That's why His Word is so important. I feel lost when I'm away from the Word, because if I'm away from the Word, then I have to rely upon my memory of the Word. And I can remember a lot of the Word, but there are times when I'm facing something that I will be so lost without it. And then when I get next to His Word and I open it up, and His Word begins to speak to me, why, that verse, I've read it 1,000 times, and it never said that to me before. His Word is alive. It's alive. That's why it'll never pass away, because God does not want to take that away from us. Even though Christ is gone physically, our worship and His Word will never be taken away. The third thing are the true works. The true works. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." Underline this part. "Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." True works. those things that had an eternal difference, those things that had an eternal reward. You know, there are times that God will say, oh, Craig, you hit the mark there. That's got an eternal reward. You hit the mark there. And then there are times that God will say, dude, the target was over here. You missed it completely. What are you doing taking all the glory? What are you doing feeling good about that? You missed the target completely. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians for just a moment and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Keep your place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If I can get over there myself, this wasn't planned. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are always confident, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's not up there. I hadn't planned on this. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, or for this reason we labor, that whether present or absent we may be, notice the words and terminology, accepted by Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which has been done, whether it be good or bad. Notice it didn't say sin. Good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ is where our works as a Christian are judged. The judgment seat of Christ is not judging sin. The judgment seat of Christ is judging the things that we have done, whether they were good or bad. The good things are the things that God got the glory for, the good things that God did through you that have eternal dimensions to it. The bad things are the things that we've done in our own strength, the things that people patted us on the back and said, good job, and we said, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Sometimes we take the glory for the things that we can accomplish, and when we do that, we have our reward. Those are the bad things. The good things, though, are the things that God did through us where we truly hit the target. Now, take the good and the bad and look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you can just back up one space. There we go. Back up two spaces to 13, please. There we go. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Notice what verse 12, go back up just a little bit further. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, the good things are the gold, silver, precious stones. The bad things, the things that we've taken glory for ourselves, I mean, it might be a good thing, but it didn't bring glory to God, so it's a bad thing. That's the wood, hay, and the stubble. You know what? We're going to have some of each. I'm going to have some of each. And everything that we have done is going to be made manifest in that day, because it's going to be tried by fire. We're going to have some of each. I mean, if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck, go with wood, hay, or stubble. Can you imagine how many dollars of hay we could stack in this building? But it wouldn't compare to the biggest diamonds in this world and their cost. See, if you want the biggest bang for your buck, you want to go with wood, hay, and stubble. But that's the only reward you're going to have. And that reward is going to be tried by fire, and we're going to have some of each. And when it passes through the fire, what happens to gold, silver, and precious stones? When that passes through the fire, what happens to it? It's more precious. It's refined. It's purer. What happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it passes through the fire? Well, it turns to ash. And that's what we're going to have in our precious hands. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, tried by fire, and the wood, hay, and the stubble, as it passes through the fire, turns to ash. And whew, as the Holy Spirit blows through our lives, blows all that ash away, and all that's left is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, and that's what our life was. Any man's works that are burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. We're not talking salvation here. The wood and the hay and the stubble have all burned up. Now all you've got are the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And you say, Jesus, this is my life. This is my life that I lived for you. You gave your life for me. This is my life. I give it back to you. Some are going to have lots of gold, silver, precious stones, and a little bit of hay and stubble. Some are going to have a few precious stones and a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. True spirituality realizes that true works endure forever. Those true works, those things that God did in and through you to reach others for the kingdom of Almighty God, those things are eternal. And that's why they'll not pass away. That's why they'll be refined by fire. I can hardly wait to get to heaven, not only just to see my parents and to see those that have gone on before me, but I want to see all of those individuals that I have had a little bit of influence in their lives, and they've accepted Christ as their Savior. I want to get there, and I want to talk to the man that led me to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the doctor's name that delivered you? Do you? I don't know the doctor's name that delivered. It's on my birth certificate, of course. But I don't know his name. Do you know the name of the person that led you to the Lord? Absolutely. That day is etched in the memory of our life. Because it has an eternal significance. That's why. Brothers and sisters, it is important that we understand that He's encouraging each and every one of us to surrender to this so that we might truly be the individuals that love Him as much as He loves us. And that those things that matter might be done most in our lives. We need to have eternal minds. We need to truly be spiritually minded so that we can be the people, the individuals, the mechanism, the child that He chooses to use to reach this person and that person. And through that process, we are drawn into a relationship with Him to where we can truly love Him and worship Him for what He has done in our lives. That's what being spiritual is all about. That's God's call to spirituality. So that there is something different about you than the rest of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, even though you have taken your Son back to you, that you have left several things here, your word and the worship, and truly the works, the true works of our hands. The things that you have done in and through us. Father, we pray for your blessings tonight on each that are here. We thank you so much that they've been able to come and to worship you. And Father, we pray that each heart has been tuned to you. Each heart has been turned in a specific way so that they are drawn closer to you. And we thank you and praise you and ask for your guidance this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.